His father was a good man. He was very involved in church. In fact, when the church kind of got run down, he was instrumental in rebuilding and remodeling and getting worship started again, and was a godly man and used his influence to encourage others to go to the house of God and to worship. And he had one son, and that son was born to him toward the end of his life. But he tried to raise his son for the Lord and took his son to the temple. And of course, the priests were training his son and taking care of his son. But his son was like many sons we know of today, often preachers' kids or missionaries' kids, unfortunately. And when he got older, he kicked the traces and turned totally against God and totally rejected his father's faith and lived a wicked life. Now, the question is why? How many of you know somebody like this young man who was raised in church, heard the truth, later in life, maybe as a teenager or a college-age student, went far from the Lord? How many of you know someone like that? Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were like that? Yeah. Why does that happen?
Sometimes they've never been saved.
Okay. Now, the story I've just told you could take place today. And we could plug in some of your names. We could plug in the names of those that you raised your hands about. But this story actually took place 2,500 years ago. Who was the godly father who restored worship in the temple?
Hezekiah.
So Hezekiah was a godly man. He did have his faults. He was not a perfect man, and which is true of all of us. But as far as we know, he tried to raise his son for the Lord. When Manasseh was 12 years old, Hezekiah died, and Manasseh became the king. So let's read about that. And we're going to see some great truths about God, but I also want to try to be an encouragement to those of you who may have wayward children or know of people who do, okay? So you're in 2 Chronicles 33, and it says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Now, that's just an amazing thought to think about to begin with. We're looking, first of all, here this morning at Manasseh's rebellion, and we see the record of his reign. And he began to reign when he was how old? 12 years old. Anybody have a 12-year-old? Yeah. So can you imagine of course, it's a girl, but being the king over anything? It's just an amazing thought to think about. A 12-year-old is coming to reign. And we remember something interesting about Hezekiah. Remember when Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, "You're going to die." And Hezekiah prayed and said, "Lord, I've tried to live for you. I've tried to do what's right." And God extended his life how many years?
15.
So what do you know about Manasseh? He was born during that 15 years of grace, wasn't he? And so here's this son, and I am sure that he was taken to the temple every Sabbath. I am sure that they taught him the things of the Lord, and he knew the ways of his father and what his father had done. But obviously, as a 12-year-old, I am sure that he was easily influenced, and I'm sure they had men who basically ran the kingdom. He would have probably been a figurehead. So he comes on the scene, and he begins to reign at the age of 12 years old. And let's see what kind of reign he had. Now, again, remember his father, okay? Hezekiah, godly man. Hezekiah, when he became king, immediately restored the temple worship, cleaned out the temple, got rid of all the idols, did all the things, had the Passover. I mean, he went righteous big time, okay? So Manasseh comes on the scene, and look at the first line of verse 2, this general statement. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So there's the general statement. He said he did evil. And then he's going to specify and show us how he did evil. And we see the first thing. He said he did like the abomination of the heathen. Now, who's he talking about? The heathen. Who are the heathen? Okay. Look what it says. The heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So who are these people? They're all the Philistines, the Assyrians, Canaanites, all that bunch. They were all wicked, and they were so wicked, God cast them out. In fact, they were so wicked, when Israel came in, they were able to destroy all those people. And in fact, God said, these people are so bad, when you come in, don't make treaties with them, don't be nice to them, kill every one of them. They were that bad. So Manasseh comes on the scene, and what's he like? He's just like the heathen. Wow. Now look what he did. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down. He reared up the altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven. What's that? What's the host of heaven?
Stars,
sun, moon. Okay? So he's worshiping all of these things. It gets worse. Verse 6, he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. What did he do?
Sacrifice.
He sacrificed his own children. He burned them as a way of worshiping these false gods, this false god Molech. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. So he brings all this witchcraft in, and he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, where? In the house of God, right in the temple. Of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name there forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So not only did he do wrong, but what else did he do? He influenced everybody in Judah to do wrong and to do worse than the heathen. So not only did he do what the heathen did, he did worse. Whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So, I mean, here he is. I mean, he's raised to fear Jehovah God. He's raised to serve God and to worship God. And he gets on the throne, and immediately, what does he do? Really, if you think about it, he undoes everything that his father Hezekiah had done. Wow, talk about wickedness. Talk about ungodliness. Talk about doing a total of 180. Isn't that amazing? Here is a young man who knew what was right. He'd been taught right. Just because, you say, how do you know that? Because he was the king's son. And the king did right. And I guarantee you, he's the only son of the king, and the king is going to raise him in the fear of the Lord. I mean, he was taught. He knew. Here is a young man that knew the truth. And he becomes king at 12 years old, and immediately he turns the nation to witchcraft and idolatry and Baal worship and the worship of Molech and all of these terrible, terrible things. I mean, it's just a horrendous record when you read about all the terrible things he did. In summary, this guy, now here's an amazing truth, was the most wicked king of Judah. The worst. Worse than even Ahab. He's the lowest of the low. He's the worst of the worst. Now, what do you expect to read next in the text? Oh, by the way, there's one other thing that happened that I've left out. Verse 10. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." Now, I do want you to flip back to 2 Kings just for one couple verses here. 2 Kings and 21 and verse 10. Because this is important. Okay, here's a wicked guy. Terrible. And back in 2 Kings 21 and verse 10, "And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I'm going to bring much evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle." That's quite a description. I mean, it's so bad, you know, wow. "And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish." So, men, I've got bad news for you. The men were doing the dishes back then. "Wiping it and turning it upside down, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, have provoked me to anger since the day that their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he had made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Tradition says God sent prophet after prophet to this man, Manasseh, and he refused to hear them. And in fact, who was the chief prophet for his dad?
Isaiah,
very good. Tradition says, now Isaiah is an old man now, that he took him and he hollowed out a log and he put Isaiah in the log and cut the log in half. And this was no magician's trick, okay? And he filled the streets with blood, and it's very possible that those were the blood of the prophets. Now, what do you expect to read next?
Judgment.
Right? God judges sin. The prophets have said, God's going to judge you. All right, let's see what happens. So we've seen, number one, Manasseh's rebellion. Number two, and the point kind of gives it away, but secondly, Manasseh's repentance. And here's an amazing thing. You're back in 2 Chronicles. And sure enough, guess what happens? Judgment. "Wherefore the Lord," verse 11, "brought upon them the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him in fetters and carried him to Babylon." So what happened? God said, "I'm going to judge you for your sin." What did God do? Exactly what he said. So they take chains and they chain his wrists and they carry him. He is a defeated king. The Assyrians have defeated him. They carry him to Babylon. At this time, the Assyrians were ruling over Babylon. And they carried him away captive. He is humbled. He has been a proud man and said, "I'm going to do whatever I want to do." And God takes him down. Now, by the way, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and Manasseh didn't listen. Because he said no, 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 God stepped it up, didn't he? God said, "Okay. You're going to go captive. You're going to be humble. I'm going to humble you." So now he's been taken out of Jerusalem. He's been carried away captive. He's a hostage. And he's taken to Babylon. Let me ask you a question. How does God deal with believers today? When we have sin in our life, how does God deal with you? All right. And conviction of the Holy Spirit. And how does that often come? Okay. But let's not get to the troubles and problems yet.
Sometimes through guilt.
Through guilt? Why do you feel guilty? Because the Spirit of God, yes. But what else? The Word of God. Right? You're sitting in a Sunday school class, or you're sitting in a church service, or you're reading the Bible in your own devotions, and you're reading a passage, and it's just like you read that passage hundreds of times, and God said, oh, buddy, that's you. God speaks to you through His Spirit, right? How many of you have experienced that? Yeah, if you haven't, we got trouble. Okay? That's how God starts, right? And He speaks to our heart, and that's the time to say, yes, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, and you get right. Now, if we don't do that, then what comes, Larry? Troubles and troubles. Problems. Because God chastens His children, right? Hebrews chapter 12. And by the way, isn't this how you dealt with your children? Maybe not. Maybe you just teed off on them. At the, you know, maybe you gave them troubles and trouble at the beginning. What, when your child is not doing right, well, you speak to them and you talk to them and you try to get them to do what's right. And if they do, great. If they don't, what happens? Well, you step up to punishment, right? The troubles and trials. That's exactly right. And that's exactly how God deals with us. And that's exactly how God dealt with Manasseh. And God spoke to Manasseh through prophet after prophet after prophet. And he did not submit. And because of that, God brought affliction into his life. Now listen to Hebrews 12:10. For they, verily for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. Now he's talking about parents. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Why did, according to that passage, why did your parents chasten you? Because it brought them pleasure. Now, let's just be honest. Come on, parents. How many of you, when you disciplined your child, it brought you pleasure? You finally gave it to them. They finally got what they deserved. You're a bunch of liars. Yeah, there's one person that's honest. Thank you. Good. And you were so mad and you were so upset with them that you just let them have it. And you got done. You say, well, that'll teach them. You all are too pious and holy. I know. And he says, they did it for their own pleasure. But listen, but he for our profit. Why does God chasten his children? For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, and we would all say, amen. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which, I like this word, are exercised thereby. God exercises us with discipline. The psalmist said the same thing in Psalm 119:67. Listen to what he says. Before I was afflicted, I, anybody know that verse? Went astray. But now have I kept thy word. So this guy Manasseh, folks, just was living a wicked, wicked life. Far from God, rebelling against God, everything that was right and true. So God sent him prophets to speak to him, and he wouldn't listen. In fact, he killed them. So now God says, okay, buddy, I'm going to step it up. And I'm going to take you captive, and I'm going to take you to Babylon, and you're going to be humbled. You're full of pride. By the way, it's interesting. What was his father's downfall? Isn't it a shame that our children usually learn all of our worst traits? Unfortunately, that is true. And so here he is. He's being chastened by God. Here's a wicked man. Now, here's an amazing thing. Look at verse 12. And when he was in affliction, what happened? He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Wow. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance, took it, spent it on wild living, loose women, all kinds of things, great parties. Lived a wicked life. Did he know better? Had he been taught what was right? I'm sure he had. And I am sure there were days that father despaired and said, man, it's over. He's gone. You know, he reports back from the city about his son's wickedness and things. But the Bible says there was a day when he spent all and he came to himself. And that turned that boy's life around. And here's a man named Manasseh. We're not really sure how old he was when this happened. Tradition says he was probably in his 30s, but who knows if that's true or not. But God takes him to the cleaners. And God disciplines him mightily, and he humbles him. And instead of getting bitter against God, instead of saying, this is not fair, God, you have no right to do this, he cried out to God. And here's an amazing thing, verse 13. And he prayed unto God, he prayed unto him. And he, that is God, was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Wow. Now, obviously, we're talking about a rebellious young man that comes back to God. But I want to remind you, this is a young man that knew the truth, and he totally rebelled against God, and he went against God, and he desecrated God's house, and he worshipped idols, and he caused the nation to worship idols, and he practiced witchcraft and wickedness. He rejected God's prophets. He killed God's prophets. And yet, in a moment, when he turns to God, what did God do? Wow. As I studied this lesson, that's what hit me. What a great God. Yeah, he did exactly that. And God did what he said he would do. And God brings him back to Jerusalem and puts him back on the throne. My. All because of God's grace and God's mercy. And you may not have a wayward child here today, but all of us need to focus again on the grace of God and the mercy of God. Let me just give you some verses from Scripture. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. This is when Moses said, Lord, show me yourself. Remember that? And the Lord said, look, buddy, you can't see me fully, because if you do, you're going to die. So he hides him. He said, you're just going to see my backside. You're just going to catch a little bit of the glory. And so it said, the Lord passed by and he proclaimed, the Lord God. And here, listen to these first two descriptive words that God gives about himself. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And we all ought to say, praise the Lord. Many of you early on raised your hand and said, hey, that was me. You know where you're sitting right there now, Joey? It's called the grace and mercy of God. Because there came a point when you said, this isn't right. And God's Spirit drew you back to himself, and you repented, and God forgave. Now, by the way, I use that of Joey and several others who raised your hand, but if you're a believer today, it's true of you too, isn't it? And it's true of me. I was just a child when I got saved, but I was just as lost as a drunkard or an alcoholic or a murderer or whatever. I was just as lost as they were. And the only reason I'm standing in front of you today is the mercy and grace of God. What a wonderful God. Oh, let me give you some more. I've got a whole page here of great, great verses here. Joel 2, 12 and 13. I love this verse. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God. Listen, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Psalm 86, 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. Aren't you glad the Lord is long-suffering? Wow. and plenteous in mercy and truth. In Nehemiah 9:17, but thou art a God ready to pardon. If you're here today and there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, I want you to know God is ready to pardon. He's just waiting on you to humble yourself and to ask forgiveness and to come back to Him. And God will pardon. In Isaiah 55:7, this is a great verse. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. By the way, who was the prophet that he probably killed? Isaiah. This is Isaiah writing, okay? So he obviously wrote this before he died. I know that's deep, but... And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. Listen, for he will abundantly pardon. And then let me give you one more. Micah 7:18. This is great too. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Listen, because he delighteth in mercy. Now I'll be honest with you. How do you put a holy, thrice holy, righteous God on one hand, and yet he is merciful and just and forgiving and long-suffering? And that's our God. Yeah. It's just amazing. This song came to my thoughts as I was studying. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell this story shouting, glory, 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 hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Wow, what a picture of our merciful, loving God. And every one of us ought to get alone with the Lord sometime today and just say, Lord, thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me on a daily basis. Thank you. If you were far from the Lord, thank you for drawing me back to you and receiving me back into fellowship. Now, got one more thing and we're done real quickly here. We see his rebellion, his repentance, and then finally Manasseh's righteousness, okay? This was not a mere profession, okay? We're back in 2 Chronicles 33, and verse 14. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David. Let me skip that. Go to verse 15. He took away the strange gods, the idol out of the house of the Lord, all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Wow. That's something. Verse 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the king of Israel, and so forth and so on. By the way, I skipped a verse back in verse 13 that I should not have skipped. This, I think, is the crux. And Mark, you mentioned this early on. Notice, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. That's the turning point, isn't it? Job had that same thing. He said, Lord, I've heard of you with the ear, but now mine eye seeth. You know what your children need? Not just to hear about God. They need a personal relationship with God. They need to know God. And that's exactly what happened to him. He knew about God, but he didn't know God. Now he knows God, and he professes, he goes on for the Lord, he changes, he just a total reversal. By the way, lest you think it's all, I can just sin and do what I ever want to do, it's interesting. Even though he got right, even though he tried to turn Judah back to the Lord, the nation never fully recovered. And we'll see in coming days that the nation finally went down. You know who they blamed it on? You read further in Scripture, and we'll see this later on in 2 Kings. Let me see if I have the verse down here. I think I did. Yeah, in verse 24 and verse 3, listen. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of, guess who?
Manasseh. He got right. God forgave him. There were still consequences. He got right. He got right with the Lord. But there were consequences. We'll see some of those in his son. His son was wicked. A lot of different lessons. Here's the lesson for me. Praise God for his mercy and his grace. God had every right to wipe Manasseh off the face of the earth. And he has every right to do that to us too. But he didn't. And God has been merciful. And God has been gracious to every single one of us. And we ought to praise his name. And we ought to serve him. And glorify him in all that we do. Because of God's goodness and mercy and grace in our lives. When you think of Manasseh, young man that knew right, turned against God, turned back to God. God forgave. God was merciful. God was gracious. And finally, if you have a child who is far from the Lord, remember Manasseh. And God can do that for your child too. Okay? Lord, we thank you this morning for who you are. A gracious, merciful, long-suffering, forgiving God. Oh my, where would we be if you were not that kind of God? And Lord, help us today to revel in what you've done for us. And help us to praise you and serve you and glorify you with our lives. And for those who have children who are far from you, may this encourage their hearts. And may this set them to pray and pray and pray that you would do as you did to Manasseh, to humble them and bring them back to yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.